You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Welcome to my nightmare. Okay, so the ongoing story of this story about Bay's housing, right? It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So you're going to meet today a woman by the name of Shelly Federico. By the way, welcome to my house. Which contains the nightmare, right? And my black blood is moving now. You wanna know why? Cause these son of a bitch politicians, they know. Oh, Mac, come on.
Welcome to my house.
It's my house.
It's my house. Yeah. So anyway. I get an email from Shelly Federico, and I get told that, hey, I'd like to talk to you. I heard the interview you did with Lee Tuttle, and I sued Lincoln Housing in 2012 in the state of Virginia, and I won, and I got sent a couple of links to a CNN story. CNN did like a half-hour special on this in 2012, and in the state of Virginia at Naval Station Norfolk. And so you're watching it, and you have the same dude that sat at the table with that testified in front of the Senate Armed Service Committee representing Lincoln Housing. Same dude's in the video. professing the same level of ignorance. And you're watching it. And then I think at some point Senator Warner's in it. Right? And now everybody's shocked again, right? When did Tim Kaine get elected in the state of Virginia? Hold on. Let me look that up. Vice presidential candidate. Tim Kaine, senator. Let's see. Previously served as the lieutenant governor of Virginia from 2002 to 2006. Governor of Virginia from 2006 to 2010. Oh, so in the midst of all this shit, he's the governor of Virginia. You think Tim Kaine might have known about this? I'm thinking. Let's see. Kaine was Democratic nominee for vice president in the 2016 election. When did he get elected? Assumed office on January 3rd, 2013. Preceded by Jim Webb. So, during the election, Kaine was either the governor or running for senator. I wonder if Kaine knew. How could he not know? He was the chairman of the Democratic National Committee from 2009 to 2011. So, anyway, when you hear the story, if you close your eyes, if I tell you, all right, everybody, put your blindfold on, right? Go get something, wrap it around your eyes, put your blindfold on, or if you don't have a blindfold, close your eyes. And I'm going to play this, and then you're going to tell me when it is. You're going to listen to it, and you're going to say, somebody did that this week. Oh, no. Somebody's not going to say that. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, well, they are going to say that. But then I'm going to say, because somebody else made me smart, oh, no, that's from 7 years ago. Oh, wait a minute. You mean there's United States senators? There's United States senators involved in the video? So they've known about this? And so once they got this off their radar, they just went on to other things, right? Nobody really fixed the problem. Nobody really fixed the problem. Yeah, I mean, I kid you not. Wait till you hear it. It's like, my God. So now, the question is, how many times has this been brought? So now, you begin to think, okay, so this is not a new issue. And even though I said, hey, there's women, right? I said it yesterday. I don't want to hear from the DOD. Because you know what they do. I don't want to call them, like, straight-up liars. But they parse the truth. Right? Like the dude, the lame-ass dude yesterday that I played the audio of, when he gets asked by Elizabeth Warren, how much of your housing have you inspected last year? And he said 100%. And then she said, you inspected 100% of your housing and you didn't find this? And he went, Senator, I'll have to get back to you on that. Right? And you're like, what? What? And so it goes. Okay, so now, as you begin to do historical research, right? That you're finding that this, the woman you'll meet today, and the story you'll hear, is the story's from 2012. So when did this start? 2008, 2009? If the lawsuit, you know, the lawsuit goes forward, CNN doing a report. When did it happen? 2010, right? Somebody else sent me a document, a story from a story from 2008. This is in the Seattle Post Intelligencer. Yeah, how about that? Intelligencer. Look it up, right? Wednesday, August 13th, 2008. Author, Eric Nadler, N-A-L-D-E-R, Nalder. Investigative reporter. A powerful Washington congressman wants the Navy to say once and for all whether 240 new homes for sailors on Whidbey Island, home of the A-6 Prowler Squadron, are on the chopping block. And a Florida senator is asking how a major military housing project got so off track that hundreds of military homes across the country were delayed or never built. He may use the issue to block the appointment of the new Air Force Secretary, already under fire for his handling of the air refueling tanker contract. The question stems from a failed Pentagon housing privatization scheme. Now, mind you, this is 2008. All right? The project went badly awry after the Navy, the Air Force, and the Army gave 8,000 military family houses in six states to a company run by people who had good political connections and questionable financial track records. Uh-oh, sounds like your basic DOD shit show, right? Right? This is me, like, I feel like I'm reading the, I feel like I'm reading the story about meat. About, I didn't even know what 4D meat meant. Right? So, I'm like, 4D meat? What is that? So I'm reading about it. 4D meat stands for raw meat ingredients that have been sourced from dead, dying, diseased, or disabled animals. Okay, so I read that, right? And then after that, I read, the largest procurers of 4D meat are the animal food industry and the U.S. Department of Defense. The U.S. Department of Defense, I shit you not. Like, what? No wonder that stuff tastes so bad. Yeah. So that's what I feel like. Yeah. 4D meat, right? Let me tell you, dead, dying, diseased, or disabled animals. Okay? Yeah, so that would be roadkill, diseased, dying, or disabled. Hey, it's not that bad. Put a little salt on it. Come on, let's go. We got work to do. Anywho, yeah, that's what I feel like I'm reading. Reading this shit. All six of those projects, handled to the company American Eagle, fell apart. Some planned houses weren't built, others faced years of delays, lenders pulled out in Arkansas, some contractors were not paid in several southern states. American Eagle, based in Dallas, was sold or is selling its share in all of the projects, in some cases for millions more than its initial investment. Sometime in the next 2 months, Pentagon privatization officials will gather to discuss what went wrong with American Eagle. Joe Sykes, director of the Defense Department's Housing and Competitive Sourcing Office, said on Tuesday. The whistleblower now wonders what happened to what he calls a solemn commitment to build 240 homes on Whidbey Island. Representative Norm Dix, Democrat from Washington, who is the second-ranking member of the Appropriations Defense Subcommittee, wants answers, said his chief aide, George Behan. Oh, my God. So this chronicles, like, the shit show that is the DOD management of this housing thing. Okay? And so it's just, I mean, the more you dig, the more of these stories that you get, and what you get is, what you get, honestly, is what you would expect to get when the government tries to do something that it's incapable of. Right? There's a reason these people are working inside the government. Oh, Mac! Oh, I'm fighting with the broad brush. And now we're going to let the private sector is much more efficient. We're going to let them. The private sector seeks what? You know, I have a degree in economics, so I know this kind of shit. The private sector seeks to maximize profits. If the end, maybe I should tease this. Maybe I should play the end of one of these things. All right, so stand by. I'm just going to play you a little bit of a teaser, okay? A little bit of a teaser. And I mused about this the other day, and then lo and behold, I heard this. Oops. Police seize the dog? That's not it. Yeah, they played me the next video in line. I don't want the next video, man. I want my video. Because I was watching it last night. So, stand by. Be patient. Be patient. Patience is a virtue. Yeah. That you can practice right now. All right. Here it comes. Colleen's got a swim meet today, so I got to go to that. I got people calling me. I got a lot of stuff going on, man. I got a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to go teach post-traumatic winning next week. I'm fired up about that. So make a little trip back to the Quantico area. So I want to... The dude that's the president of Lincoln Housing, man. What's his name? Jarl something? Yeah, old Jarl, man. He's all over the CNN report. And he was sitting there the other day acting stupid as stupid could be. Right? Then you had the admiral saying, I think we do a fine job in taking care of our families. Wah, 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 wah. Right, and then you have these women in tears. It's the same stuff. They have Virginia Senator Mark Warren. Oh, this is here's the tease that I want. Okay, and this lady worked for him. So I got what I'm doing is this is called cueing the video. Okay, all right, so. All right, so here you have it. This is called a tease. What just happened?
The families we spoke to believe Lincoln was avoiding what it knew to be a huge problem.
There was a lot of mold when I first started.
Meet Danette Smith. She worked 10 years for the Navy and was among the first team hired by Lincoln when it took over military housing in 2005.
In your opinion, was Lincoln trying to save costs, to cut corners?
100% yes. They did not want to spend the money due to the units. Eventually, we're going to be torn down, or they mainly concerned on 100% occupancy.
How were they remediating the mold?
Covering it.
How?
They would cover it with... cleaning it with bleach and then painting over it. They put a Band-Aid over anything the cheapest way possible to make it not visible and for a resident to come in to not say anything.
Lincoln denied.
They're still doing that. That's the same shit you hear from women now.
at Smith's allegations, she was fired for overspending on housing maintenance. Fast forward to today. With families getting mysteriously sick and Lincoln denying a problem.
Okay, so when she's saying fast forward to today, that's like today, okay, like today, right? Like your feet are on your floor like right now, today, except 7 years ago today. That's what she's talking about. So I'm going to play you both segments and you can hear the whole fucking thing. Right? And again, the reason this is so shitty, right, is you raise your hand to support and defend the Constitution. And you've spent a lot of time fighting, right, and away from your family. And the people that send you, they can't even make sure your family's not going to get sick. Are you kidding me? Like, what the fuck is that? And then you see that you're going to hear Mark Warner get interviewed in this thing. So it's just fire and forget. Okay, on to the next one. So you're going to meet, we're going to check the news after I finish venting here. We're going to check the news, right? And then I'll play these stories for you, these two segments from CNN. They're each, I think, about, I don't know how many minutes, 7 minutes. So they're each about 7 minutes long. And then you're going to hear Shelley Federico. Shelley files a lawsuit. She wins the lawsuit, right? It has to do with mold and all this stuff. There's a House bill passed by the 212th Congress, House Bill 4608. So it's HB 4608. Here it is, lo and behold. Military Housing Accountability Act. So we already have a law in the book? How come this is not? How come I didn't hear about this at the hearing the other day? Why didn't I hear about this? You think it's possible that they don't want to embarrass each other? So, I mean, you can see, I mean, can you imagine if it was your kid that was sick? If it was your kid that was brain damaged? Your infant that was brain damaged by either lead paint or by black mold that got inside your kid's head? Affected their respiratory system? And now, and let me tell you, the game that gets played, right? So what's going to happen is they all put on their nice suits. Late last week, they put on their nice suits. They came, they mea culpa, everybody said the right thing. And now here's the game that gets played. The first thing is get Congress off our ass. Okay? So, in short order, the service secretaries are going to come back with the service chief sitting there in their uniforms. Everybody's going to look great. And they're going to report to the Senate Armed Service Committee that everybody is now taken care of. They'll say that. Okay? And so then the hard part comes. But that's the easy part. So everybody's in some form of lodging that's clean, that's not making them sick. So that's the easy part. Kind of. Okay. The hard part is, okay, so what about the people that you've made sick? What happens to them? What happens to their lifetime of medical bills? Who pays for that? And so if the DOD is consistent with the way it's done this shit in the past, what the DOD will do is it will take people down this road, tell them to report, tell them to go get physicals, and then slowly but surely they'll deny the linkage between what happened to you wasn't caused by that. What happened to you wasn't caused by that. What happened to you wasn't caused by that. And so they'll strip people out of the litigation, right? By saying, well, you don't have the appropriate evidence. Well, you don't have the pictures. You can say that, but there's no evidence to base that on. Right? So they'll blow people out of the lawsuit. All in the effort to whittle whatever the settlement is, whittle it down. And then they'll draw it out for years and years and years. And then what the DOD will do is they'll say, this is too much money. And the DOD will deny everybody's claim against them and say, like Secretary Spencer just said recently, the reason we're doing this is to free everybody up to pursue their own legal bullshit. And unless something crazy happens, these people will be left high and dry to fend for themselves, to pay their own medical bills, to lose their careers in the military, some of them, because of respiratory issues, and see you later. So it's disgusting. And again, this goes back, this stuff goes back to start pulling the string, start flipping over the rocks and just start looking. And that's why, again, that's why I'll go back to a comment I made yesterday about this stuff is that if anybody is on the two line of that email and they picked up the phone and they called one of these women, okay, they called one of these women. Because for those of you who don't know, these women are sisters, man. They support each other. In many cases, they're all they have is their own groups, right? Because they leave their homes to marry a service member. They go get relocated at some, you know, far corner of the planet. And all they have is each other, right? And they gravitate to each other. Why? Because they live the same lives. So they know each other. If they would have called one of them, they would have found out, well, I can introduce you to other women that have the same problem. Would you like to know that, Senator? So that's, to me, the significance of their two line. Who did you send this to? Right? And I'm not interested in the DOD's list. I'm interested in the list that comes out of these women. Who got this email? And if you got it, if you're on this two line and that email address is correct, I don't care why you didn't act. I only know that you didn't act. And your shit is fired. So, yeah, this thing gets worse and worse and worse. But again, like I said, here's the game. The game at the deep end of the pool where rich people play it is this. Big corporations with big lawyers on their big payroll will grind down individuals who've been wronged, who've been hurt, who've been physically damaged, and they'll be damaged for the rest of their life. They will grind those people down. They will deny their claims, and they know they can't stay in the legal game because they don't have the money to stay in the legal game. So that's part of it. Will deny their claims on their merits. They don't have the evidence. They didn't take enough pictures. All right, so we'll blow 50% of them out on that. We'll grind down another, you know, 40% just dragging this thing sideways and having them incur their own legal bills, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah. And so, and then when you see these reports, that report and Shelley Federico's lawsuit, that's 7 years old news, with United States senators sitting there talking about it, about this issue that everybody's so surprised that it materialized all of a sudden. Yeah, so to me, again, the people that were supposed to be responsible for this housing stuff, every one of them ought to be fired. Every one of them ought to be fired. There's no excuse. And when you tell me you didn't know, either you're stupid or you're lying, one of the two. In either case, you're incompetent. Leave. If you presided over this, you're incompetent. Go away. And again, the schoolboy looks on the faces of the there was three panels the other day. There was the service secretaries with the service chiefs, right? That was the first panel. The second panel were the housing providers. Those guys in their nice suits, all saying the right things. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. Then you had the undersecretaries of each service, I think that's what they're called, but they're in charge of housing. You had one for the DOD, and then you had one for the three, there's four branches of service under three service departments, right? Soon to be a fifth, as the Air Force gets a second branch, the Space Force. So there'd be five branches under three services. So anywho, every one of those persons that presided over this, just make them go away. They should be fired. Either you're fired because you didn't know and you're supposed to, or you're fired because you're lying about not knowing. All right. So, good morning to you. And let me just tell you, you're going to find today's show like you have, I mean, all week and going back to last week. I mean, it's stunning. And it doesn't cease to be stunning to me that this has gone on. These families have been injured. These women have been ignored. They've been patted on the head. And they all tell the same story. Oh, it's probably nerves. Oh, it might be just your allergies. I don't have allergies. Right? They get patted on the head and told away. And then you heard that little audio tease I played. Why did that woman get fired? Because she was spending too much money on maintenance. It's not what we do. Okay, so you, and here's how the toxic cocktail is brewed there. Okay, the toxic cocktail is cheap construction. And then inside of cheap construction, we put in cheap appliances, cheap plumbing, cheap water heaters, cheap on top of cheap on top of cheap. In order to, right? Max, an economics major, what did he tell us all? In order to maximize profit. Very good. You're catching on. That's how the game works. I wrote down in the hearing the other day, only two companies are publicly held of the five that were sitting at the table. The two companies, one said their profits from this program were $33 million. The other said profits from the program were $12 million. The other three refused because they're privately held to divulge those numbers. So the way you create those millions is on the backs of dependents of serving American service members by limiting how you treat the problems at every house across the nation that they manage. That's how you do it. Called operating profit. It's gross. And then, like I said, when you see senators on television dealing with the issue, and then they just walked away from it, dropped the ball, and it continues, and now they're going to act stupid again? Come on, man. One of Mac's old favorite sayings, right? Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining. And let me tell you, that hot water going down your back, that ain't rain, man. That is not rain. All right. Good morning to you. United States Marine Corps band makes it official. As long as I have the levers in the right place. They'll make it official this time. As I sit here, I'm not happy. And this is dedicated to the senators and the congressmen who've worked on this issue before and who've forgotten it, and so that more people got sick. This is dedicated to you. I hope at some point in your life somebody does this to somebody in your family so you can feel what these people feel. And I know that's shitty of me to wish. Right? Maybe I should wish that it happens to them personally. That way nobody else in their family is impacted. That'd be a better wish. I hope someday that you can track some malady. A malady that you should have prevented other people from contracting, but you didn't. And now you've contracted it. How poetic would that be? That'd be really poetic. Right? Because you are responsible. You are responsible for these conditions. So this is dedicated to you losers.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
It is 7:43 here on the time for us to check the weather here. One temperature looks too warm, so let me refresh it. Make sure it didn't get stuck someplace. Wow. All right, currently cloudy in 44 in Quantico, sunny in 55 at Camp Lejeune. Somebody sent me another email. Mac, why do you say Lejeune? There's no R in it. It's the way the family pronounced it, right? If I pronounced my name McNamara, that's how you would say it, yes? Regardless of the spelling. No, it's McNamara, sir. It doesn't look like McNamara. It looks like McNamara. Oh, no, sir. It's McNamara. It's my name. That's the way we pronounce it. So that's the way the family pronounced it. Now, there's a video on the internet you can go check out with General Lejeune's daughter. Her name's Dolly. She's a white-haired old lady. She gets informed, you know, Dolly, do you know that some would say that you mispronounce your name? Oh, do they? Well, that's the way we pronounce it. Now, just so you know, they're from Louisiana. So the laws of pronunciation, I don't think apply completely in Louisiana. Just a thought. So there you go. I know people question that. So there you have it. All right. It is cloudy in 57 in Granbury, Texas, and 29 Palms, California. Sunny in 46. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 49. Okinawa, Japan is dark cloudy in 62. It's heated up in El Ambar in a lot of different ways. It is dark cloudy. I'm sorry. It is late in the day, cloudy, but 74 degrees in Iraq. So, spring is coming, and it's warming up in Afghanistan, too. Dark, clear, and 59 in the Helmand province of Afghanistan. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy and 53 degrees in Southern California. And looking for a high of 66 today, under partly sunny skies. 71 and sunny tomorrow. Unbelievable. 73 and sunny on Friday. Unbelievable. We're going to get to 70. Who would have thought? All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you are promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean.
All right. 7:50 on the west coast of the United States. That means if you're on the east coast, it's 10:50. You only have 70 minutes before lunch. Yeah. Time to have a snack. All right, let's check the news. The New Mew, how the Corps is changing missions for grunts. Let's see. Commander of the 31st Mew, that's kind of a Mew. You kind of go to Okinawa, then you get on the boats, you kind of cruise around a little bit. Kind of a pretend Mew. We had our forces raid over 4,000 mile area of operation, Colonel Robert Brody, commander of the 31st Mew, told the Marine Corps Times. The 13th Mew's deployment comprised of operations in four different fleet areas of operation, three different combatant commands, from the Med to the Indo-Pacific. Red Marines in 25 different countries during that deployment. Colonel Chandler Nelms, commanding officer of the 13th Mew, told Military Times, there were 16 theater security cooperation exercises with foreign partner forces and unilateral training events. We are supporting real-world operations while we are conducting these exercises with daily flights of F-35s. That's right. So, what we're doing is smaller things, more of them, all the rest of that stuff. So anyway, pretty long article in Marine Corps Times about the evolution of the Mew. But again, that would be in keeping with, right, modern requirements, right? You got to be there in the theater, and when you're in the theater, you got to be there with your partners. So interesting story about the Mew in Marine Corps Times. Next headline. New Pentagon transgender policy sets limits for treatment recruits after April 12th. The Defense Department has approved a new policy that will largely bar transgender troops and military recruits from transitioning to another sex and require most individuals to serve in their birth gender. The memo outlining the new policy was obtained Tuesday by the Associated Press. It comes after a lengthy and complicated legal battle. It falls short of the all-out transgender ban that was initially ordered by President Donald Trump, but it will likely force the military to eventually discharge transgender individuals who need hormone treatments or surgery and can't or won't serve in their birth gender. And again, this is, again, if you watch the evolution of this, right, this is based on a study about deployability and other things like that. And so, you know, it's gone through the courts and now it's becoming DOD policy. It's something that it wasn't what the president ordered. The president, he's a politician, right? So he stood up and, you know, I'm not sure if he made that claim, like, that as a campaign promise or what have you. But Secretary Mattis took that and immediately said, hey, no policy's changing when the president said what he said. And they did a study. And I think the study is absolutely spot on. And that is, look, you don't have a right to serve in the Marine Corps. There's all kinds of people that are disqualified for different conditions from serving in the military. It isn't your right. And so what does the military do? Did I say Marine Corps? I meant the military. Military deploys and fights. You got to be ready to deploy and fight. And the DOD has pushed that on all the services. If you're in a limited duty status for over a year, you will be processed out of the military. We cannot use you. You got a 3-year enlistment. So, anyway, that's what that's about. Now, after the legal battles, it's becoming DOD policy. And again, I think it's appropriate. When you look at, I didn't know anything about how you change sexes. I mean, that's a process that takes years. Years and substantial psychological therapy, and then you do the physical piece. It's not compatible with military service. Not compatible with military service. Next headline. Marine Corps seeks Reaper drones in budget requests, but will only add 100 Marines in 2020. The Corps plans to grow only by about 100 Marines to 186,200 in fiscal year 2020, but that investment focuses on Marines with high-end skills and weapons and technology for the modern battlefield. And the first for the Corps, Marines plan to procure its largest drone yet, the MQ-9 Reaper, which is believed to be a gap filler and trainer for the Corps as it drives to develop the futuristic MUX drone. The Marine Corps plans to procure 3 Reapers in fiscal year 2020. Finally, man, finally. And the reason, and the reason that's so good is these are Marine Corps assets, right? Deployed like other aircraft. So they'll deploy with squadrons, but what they can do is they can go up, they can stay on station for a long time, they can be shooters, and you don't need to burn your fixed wing assets up, you know, again. So, you know, really when you, I haven't really thought of this, but when you envision the squadrons of the future, right? Or the group of the future. So every, you'd have a squadron of F-35s, you know, and in the F-35 squadron, you would have a number of, you know, MQ-9 Reaper drones. So depending on the mission, you know, we want the Reapers up. Reapers are going to take care of that, right? It's a shooter on station. It'll be there for 12 hours, blah, 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 blah. That's good. That's good. We love that. So anyway, so that's good news. That's good news. So that's been a long time coming, too, I might add. Next story. Longest U.S. Taliban peace talks see progress, but agreement with on withdrawal timeline still a sticking point. This is an Associated Press story. From Doha, Qatar. Longest peace talks between the U.S. and Taliban to end America's 17-year-old war in Afghanistan concluded Tuesday night in Qatar, with both sides saying progress has been made. The nearly 2 weeks of talk produced 2 draft agreements between the militants and the U.S. government, with only a withdrawal timeline and an effective counterterrorism measures still to be negotiated. Well, let's see. Between militants and the U.S. government on a withdrawal timeline and effective counterterrorism measures, American envoy Zalmay Khalilzad wrote on Twitter. Diplomats said he'd go to Washington and meet with other concerned parties, likely including the Afghan government, you think, which did not take part in the 13 days of face-to-face talks with Qatar. Talks in Doha, the Qatari capital. Why isn't Afghanistan there? Why does that not make sense to me? So the United States is going to negotiate this? No bueno, man. No bueno. All right, I'm done with that. Now I'm pissed. Yeah, hey, let's have negotiations with the Taliban. Maybe that's how they, unless the Afghans said do it like that, because if we get involved in that, then somebody's going to kill us. So we'd rather you do it. We'll tell you what to do, and we'll advise you, but we don't want to be involved in it because we're likely to get killed. Next story. Georgia woman arrested for allegedly helping ISIS build a kill list of U.S. service members. A Georgia woman has been arrested and accused of helping the Islamic State carry out cyber attacks against Americans. Kim Onbo, 20, was taken into custody Tuesday in Richmond County and subsequently charged with 1 count of conspiring to provide material support to a designated foreign terrorist organization. In 2016, Bo allegedly joined an organization called the United Cyber Caliphate, or UCC, an ISIS loyalist group dedicated to carrying out cyber attacks against Americans. In April 2016, the group posted the names and addresses of more than 3,600 people in the New York City area, accompanied by the message, list the most important citizens of New York and Brooklyn and some other cities. We want them dead. One year later, the hacker organization released a graphic video along with another instructional kill list that contain identifying information for more than 8,000 people across the United States. If convicted, Bo could face a maximum of 20 years in prison. Somebody will go to her aid. She didn't know what she was doing, right? So you can betray your country. You can go and fight for them. And when you're done and you want to come home, you can cry on TV. You can cry on TV, and you can talk about your children. You've drugged your children throughout the Middle East. You've drugged them through Syria, right? And so now it's our problem. We want to come home. I didn't know what I was doing, right? Like, these are the stories, top five stories in Early Bird. Here's a breakdown of the Pentagon's budget request. Okay, so the budget gets broken down. $750 billion budget proposed. $718 billion goes directly to the Pentagon. $104 billion goes to research, development, and evaluation. $155 billion goes to military personnel accounts. $143 billion goes to procurement. $292 billion goes to operations and maintenance. $22.5 billion goes to military construction and family housing. So that's how the budget breaks down. And again, it's the president's proposal. Don't get that confused with what's likely to be enacted. Next story, treated like a piece of meat, female veterans endure harassment at the VA. Quote, "You felt like a piece of meat," says Ms. Foster, who is an Army sergeant and a flight medic and nurse. Standing in line at the registration desk at the VA, I was getting comments from the male patients behind me, looking me up and down. It was a source of major discomfort. The treatment was the same at the Veterans Affairs Medical Center at Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where Ms. Foster moved after living in Texas. At that point, she gave up, opted for her husband's insurance outside the department. Quote, "They need to make the facilities not feel like an old soldier's home," Ms. Foster said. An entrenched sexist culture, as many veteran hospitals, is driving away female veterans and lags far behind the gains women have made in the military in recent years, veterans and lawmakers of both parties say. Although the Department of Veteran Affairs has scrambled to adjust to the rising population of female veterans and has made progress, including hiring more women healthcare providers, fixing basic privacy problems in the exam rooms, and expanding service to women in rural areas, sexual harassment at department facilities remains a major problem. That's coming out of the New York Times. Yeah. Who's it written by? Written by Jennifer Steinhauer. So, VA, no bueno. A Muslim soldier says her command sergeant major forced her to remove her hijab. And that's the thing that goes on their head. Sergeant Cecilia Valdovinos was in a chapel at Fort Carson, Colorado for a suicide prevention briefing on March 6th when she says her command sergeant major grabbed her by the arm, took her outside, made her remove her religious head covering in front of others. The senior non-commissioned officer believes Valdovinos, 26, who has an approved exemption from her brigade commander to wear the hijab in uniform, was wearing her hair out of regulation underneath it, she told Army Times on Tuesday. To me, it was the same thing as if he'd asked someone to take their top off. No one asked her whether her hair was in regulation, in a regulation bun, she added, before demanding that she remove the garment. She took off the scarf portion of the covering first, she said. But Command Sergeant Major Kirsten Montoya demanded she completely expose her hair. When she removed the cap underneath, which covers her hairline, and underneath her chin, the length of the hair came loose from its bun. The battalion adjutant who accompanied Valdovinos and Montoya for the inspection says the senior NCO tapped the sergeant on her shoulder before leading her outside of the chapel. Upon removing her hijab, I can't say that word, it was evident her hair was completely down, said Captain Brooke Smith in a statement. Command Sergeant Major Montoya told her to get her hair back in regulation and not to let it happen again. At no point did Command Sergeant Major Montoya touch the soldier, yell at her. Valdovinos claims her hair was tied up under the hijab. The undercap has an extra length of fabric inside, she explained, that she wraps around her bun to secure it before pulling her cap down. That's why her hair came loose and why she removed it. Really? Okay, so that's a story about somebody's hair. The next story we've already talked about is about transgender people. The one before that was about female harassment at the VA. And now this one from the Wall Street Journal, real quick. Navy industry partners are under cyber siege by Chinese hackers. The Navy and its industry partners are under cyber siege by Chinese hackers and others who have stolen tranches of national security secrets in recent years, exploiting critical weaknesses that threaten the U.S.'s standing as the world's military power. An internal Navy review has concluded. Oh, my God. The assessment delivered to Navy Secretary Richard Spencer last week and reviewed by the Wall Street Journal depicts a branch of the armed forces under relentless cyber attack by foreign government and their agents. You know, wow, newsflash. If that is a surprise to you, you've got your head so far up your ass, you're probably looking out of your mouth. Yeah, with your eyeballs. That's how far the rectal cranial extraction is going to have to go in and pull your head out of your ass. So congratulations. You know, congratulations there, Mr. Spencer. Well done. All right, more of a... I mean, it's like you can't make this shit up, right? How many different cases have to come before espionage, contractors having their computers either stolen or hacked? Or whatnot, right? How many stories have to be written before, you know, the DOD does something to lock that shit up? Good question. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, don't touch that dial. You're going to hear 2 7-minute clips, so a 14-minute segment that CNN did 7 years ago on mold and base housing. Yes. Mac, did you say 7 years ago? He did say 7 years ago. That's what Mac said, 7 years ago. Well, wait a minute, I'm confused. Yeah, no, you're not. 7 years ago. More of Auburn Radio coming up next.